I know what Brother Zach means, listening to them old time preachers and church services and stuff. I do the same thing. I sit around listening to stuff from the early days and back in the 60s and 50s. And last night we listened to one back in the 70s, and praise God, it was just wide open, man. I liked it. Amen. Amen. And then we listened to one in the 20s, 2020. Right, listened to John Morgan last night. And boy, preached a good message. It was good stuff, wasn't it, Jacob? And preached on the rich man that died and went to hell. And I was thinking today that hell ain't got no cooler. It ain't got no better. It ain't got no more comfortable. And I was just thinking, boy, what a blessing it would be if God would open our eyes and just let us see just exactly how vile and wicked and wretched we are. And I'm including myself in that. And just spend days with the Lord just puking up my vileness. Right? Spend hours before Him puking up my wretchedness and my wickedness and vileness. And just wonder why God would even allow anybody to be kind to me. Right? Wonder why sometimes. And boy, it'd be good if God would show us more of that. And maybe bring us to a place of repentance. If you have your Bible, let's go to Luke chapter 12 tonight. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. And glad to see the Michael Asquith clan is better. I thought they was better Sunday. I just thought maybe they wanted to go to Wet n' Wild or something. I asked Josiah. I said, well, was y'all at Sunday? Was y'all at the park? He said, no, we was watching you on TV. Late boy.
It worked.
Man, train up a child the way he should go.
He gets his money now.
Sorry, buddy. It is good to have y'all back. I appreciate it. Michael, you being cautious. I'm not real scared about it, but I do fear for people like my mama. If my mama got it, she's only got one lung. And so I fear for, you know, people with health issues and problems. It sure does affect them a little bit more. But if you do get it, Mama, your brother has got power. He went down there and got him some of that hydrochloroquine. He didn't need it, but he knows doctors. Amen. He said, I want some, and they gave him some. So, amen, if you need to hit him up, praise the Lord. If you got money, you can get things whether you're sick or not. Huh? But you can get it from him. I mean, we'll hold him up if we got to at gunpoint. Man.
Better than money.
That's right.
Better than money.
Glory to God. What we fixing to talk about. What we're fixing to talk about. Luke chapter 12. We'll start reading in verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Let me say something here because it keeps coming to my mind. I don't know why the Lord keeps bringing it to my mind, but I want you to know something. Sometimes some seeds takes a long time before they pop. Sometimes it takes a long time for the chickens to come home to roost. Sometimes it takes a while to reap what you've sowed. And you don't get to just sow to this flesh and maybe reap tomorrow. You might have to wait 20 years till your kids is grown to do some reaping. God knows the tender spots of our hearts. He knows how to break us down. He knows them vulnerable areas of our life. And sometimes God's completely patient with it, and he'll just go, okay, I'll wait till your kids get up there and just rip your heart out of you. Say, God wouldn't do that. I know. He might feed somebody your youngins. God will do that. I just want you to understand tonight that sometimes the things that you do may have repercussions 20 years down the road. Verse 20 says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taken thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. You know, it interests me because a lily can grow almost anywhere. You don't have to do a whole lot. You just throw it in the ground and it starts popping. Amen. And man, some of them put off tremendous fragrances, and some of them put off them blooms in early summer, and then some of them put on blooms in mid to late summer. But it doesn't matter. They're not very needy. They just kind of like bloom where they're planted. You know what I just said? I said a lily just kind of like plant blooms where it's planted. It ain't always looking for something else. It's pretty content with what God has given it. Amen. You can plant it in the sun. You can plant it in the part sun. You can plant it in the part shade. You can plant it in the dry soil. You can plant it up in the mountains. You can plant it down at the beach. And it just tends to bloom wherever it's planted. What a child of God wants to do. Not focus on the circumstances or the soil and all the bad stuff around it, but it just wants to just bloom right where God's planted. Why can't we bloom where God's planted us? Oh, we got to move on, big on, bigger and better and greener pastures. Man. You know what I think? I think if we would get busy praying and sowing a little bit, that we would have some green pastures if we'd shed a few tears right where we're at. It's just dry. The reason it's so dormant where we're at is just because ain't no tears, ain't no brokenness, ain't no burden, and it's dried up. And tell you what's going to happen if you jump the fence to greener pastures, it's going to dry up and die right there too. Man, you'll stomp it to death. That's what we tend to do. He said, consider the ravens. He said, the lilies. He said, where's it at? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, hey, let me say this to you. Let me throw this out there at you. Do you know if you get down there to the middle of that stem, listen, if you get down there to the middle of the stem of that lily, they used to use that for heart medication. There's a chemical inside the stem of that lily that they used to extract from that stem, and it was for heart medication. It's good. Amen. God will give you that. Amen. God will give you that. Amen. Just some things about the lily. I say unto you that, glory to God, can you imagine the Queen of Sheba after she said the things that she said, and God said a Solomon was not dressed or arrayed like one of these lilies in all of his glory, friend. In the sight of God, son, that lily looks something special. Amen. He said, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Amen. It didn't toil. It didn't work for it. All that little thing had to do was just lay there in the ground and let the time take its course, and bam. It just busted out in the life. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. One of the things I like about Isaiah praying is, Brother Church, Isaiah can pray that prayer and he believes it. Amen. That's that childlike faith. He believes there's a God that can bless that money and increase that money. And I like to hear children because they believe God can do things. They believe God can do anything. And man, that's our problem many times. We got this grown-up-like faith. We got this adult-like faith. And God said, unless you become as a little child. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, we're going to have to learn how to depend on Him. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. He said, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And y'all want to talk about the heathens a little while? You want to talk about the heathens in these crazy countries? You want to talk about them people over in the black jungles, the dark jungles of Africa that's completely out of society? You know what they're looking for? Come on. You know what they're looking for? The same thing we're looking for. They're looking for something to eat. Amen. And they're looking for something to kill and something to put on. They're looking for a way to provide. And yet we look at them and go, them poor, pitiful people. And Brother Church, all we are is a bunch of high society, third world country freaks. That's all we are. Doing the same thing they do. We just dress ours up a little prettier.
Yeah.
For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then in Matthew 6, 33 and 34, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Do you know what? Tomorrow has enough evil to take care of everything.
Right.
Don't worry about tomorrow. There'll be, evil will be there tomorrow. Negativity, doubt, wickedness, all that'll be, it'll take care of it. All that'll be there. You ain't got to worry about it. The Lord's just finished up in the book of Luke chapter 12. He's just finished up with a certain rich man. And we see him talking to him and the rich man, you know, in all of his pride and glory said, I'll tear my barns down and build bigger barns and so that I can have a place to store all the things, the good things that I've done and produced in my life. And God looked at that rich man and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And that man died like a fool and went to a fool's hell. And then he turned right around from talking to that man and looked at his disciples and said, hey, what are y'all worried about? Why are y'all sitting over here perplexed? Why are y'all worried about food and raiment and housing? Why are y'all worried about things? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who sent me? Don't you know who my Father is?
Yeah.
Here this rich man is. He's a heathen. He's godless. He's a fool. He don't know God. He don't trust in God. He's going to die and go to hell. And he did die and go to hell. And here you are, my disciples, and y'all running worried about how you're going to get this done, who's going to take care of that. And I'm here to tell you that, hey, if you'll trust in me, I'll take care of these things for you. You don't have to worry about it. Don't worry about worldly and material things. The Lord will take care of all that. Rich man died. Another rich man, he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. You know what that ought to teach us? The rich man died, and in hell lifted up his eyes. You know what that ought to teach us? That we're to lay up treasures in heaven.
Amen.
Don't worry about worldly things. Don't worry about monetary things. Don't worry about materialism. Don't even take no thought for that stuff. I want you to notice in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, the value of life. We do not live to eat, but we eat to live. And life is the gift of God. If you have life this afternoon, if you're breathing, if you're living, that's a gift of God. God's blessed you with that. The Bible says, I came that you might have life,
amen,
that you might have it more abundantly. I thank God for the life that's in Christ Jesus. You understand? Amen. I mean, I go back to where I was living for the devil, and all he was doing was stealing, killing, and destroying. But thank God Jesus budded in my life and gave me life. Amen. 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 Took me out of the graveyard. Praise God. Resurrected me. Found me out there in that open field, just bloody, wounded, uncared for, unloved. Amen. And picked me up and clothed me and washed me, cleaned me up. Praise God and clothed me. The Bible says that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know what that tells me? God's done His part. Man. God has absolutely done. I came. That's a past tense word. Came. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And it's such a powerful word that it lasted from the time that He came until the second time that He comes, or the next time. Amen. It'll work all the way up to the next time that He shows up. And so Jesus has done His part. So if you're sitting here in a graveyard today, don't blame it on God.
Man.
Don't blame it on God. Here's what God wants His children to know. Here's what God wants His youngins to know. Their life has more value than the meats and the raiments that we wear. More than the meats that we eat. Did you hear what I said? He came to give us life. And the life that He gave us means more to Him. So much more to Him. A whole lot more to Him than all the meat in the world. Man. All the meat in the world does not equal one soul for Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. All the raiment in the world. I mean, son, if you could just heap it up, pile upon pile. I mean, the most extravagant clothing, the raiment that you could afford. Them gold shirts and all of it combined don't mean as much to God as one soul.
That's right.
That has life. Do you understand what He means when He says the lesser? The more is the life. The lesser is what it takes to sustain it. I say this, if God is able, and God is able, to give us life which is far, far greater than anything that you can imagine, anything in this world, then you don't have to worry about the less in life. What is the less? Food, raiment, shelter, necessities, needs, whatever you need. That's the lesser, friend. If God has already give you life, friend, everything else is sub to that. Everything else is beneath that. If He can give, if He can call you out of the graveyard, if He can breathe the breath of life into your nostrils, it ain't nothing for God to give you food and rain. Nothing. But what He wants us to understand is, why are you worried about eating when you died and going to hell? Why are you worried about what you're going to eat? You're going to bust hell wide open. You'd be better off starving. You'd be better off going to hell without an arm, a leg, an eyeball, any part of your anything. You'd be better off going to hell like that. I'd hate to go to hell with a full gut. That's right. I'd hate to enter into hell with a full gut. I'd hate to enter into hell with a whole body. Why are we worried about, hey, listen, friend, and if you're saved by the grace of God, don't you worry. Don't you fret. Don't you wring your hands. God is able to take care of our needs. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what the problem was? That man was so rich. That man was so rich. He had to build new barns. He sat over there in his pride and boasted about his barns. And you know what? He was as poor can be in God. God looked at him like a poor man.
Yeah.
Man. And I've seen some of the saints of God didn't have two nickels to rub together and they was rich. Man, buddy. Amen. Spiritually rich. That ain't enough for most people today. God is able to take care of the greater needs and the greater parts.
Right.
That is giving us life. If you believe God can give a man life, you don't even need to think about can God take care of that man.
Right.
Here's what 1 Peter 5 7 says, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Not that he just loves you and secures you, and not all that. He cares for you. You know what that means? He'll put food on your table. Hey, he cares. You know, he takes care of me and you. He'll put clothes on our back. He'll put a roof over your head. If you ain't got a roof, I'm telling you, friend, and you're lining up with God, it's because you don't need a roof. You ain't got a meal, it's because you don't need a meal. Amen. Because God said, don't worry about the lesser. I'll take care of that. If I give you life, you better believe I can take care of the lesser.
Amen.
I may not know what I'm going to need tomorrow if tomorrow comes. I may not know what I'm going to eat tomorrow if tomorrow comes. But would you believe God's already got a menu set for me from here to eternity? Huh? Would you believe, I mean all the way into eternity, Miss Stephanie, God knows what He's going to feed me tomorrow. God knows what He's going to feed me if we have another week, another 10 years. Would you believe if I live to be 25 more years down the road, God knows every meal that I'm... He knows exactly what to take care of me with. Amen. He knows. You know when I die, watch this. You know when I die and I go to heaven, you know He knows exactly what I'm going to eat when I get to heaven? He's got the menu.
That's right.
Ain't nothing for God. Ain't nothing for God. Number two, I want you to notice the manner of the ravens. In Luke 12, 24, the Bible says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. They don't have a place to store up excess, and they don't have a barn. But what he says, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?
Amen.
Glory to God, friend. If God will do that for the sparrows and God will do that for a filthy raven, how much more will He do for those that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? I tell you how much better we are. They've never been washed in the blood. I've been washed in the blood. I've been washed in the blood. And if you've been washed in the blood, you're so much better off. You're 10,000 worlds better off than all the fowls of the air. Amen. If God will take care of the fowls of the air, friend, I promise you, those that are called by His name, those that are washed in the blood of Jesus, those that have passed from death unto life, God will take care of them. Amen. Rich, buddy. Rich. This is another reason why we shouldn't worry about our needs. Don't worry about our needs. God feeds the ravens. And we know we mean more to Him than they do. Man. Man. It ain't too hard for God to feed you. Man, it wouldn't hurt if we fasted for about 40 days anyhow. It really wouldn't. It wouldn't do us a bit of harm if we fasted every Monday. When I say fast, let me be very clear. Push our behinds away from the stinking table. Don't put a drop of food in our guts. If you need to, maybe drink a swallow of water as you go by. But just take that time and push away from the table and spend them hours in prayer without feeding this filthy, rotten, wicked flesh. And just spend that time with God. It wouldn't hurt if we went about 40 days in that shape. We're not going to die. Our flesh, after about 3 days, Esau's didn't wait 3 days, son. He come in from the field and he started lying. His flesh, I'm going to die. I'm about to die. Feed me. Feed me. That's what we do all the time. Our flesh says, feed me. You know, in America anymore, people's got to kill themselves to eat by 5 or 6 o'clock. Just so sick and tired of hearing a bunch of sissies cry all the time. Well, it's time to eat. No, maybe time to fast. You ain't hungry yet, bless God. Your flesh is fat and reared up. What we need to do is push away from the table and get a hold of God. Spend some time with God. Amen. We don't know God like that.
Right.
We don't know that God. We know the God, bless God, that puts noodles on the table. We know the God that gives us pork chops. We don't know that God, bless God, to make us push away from the table and let us go about 14 days without a drop of food in our gut. We don't know that God of God. We don't know Him like that.
Amen.
Brother Zach, and I'm afraid that's why we can come in here and sing about Calvary and the love of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God. I mean, man, just God. Just sing about God. And it not mean anything. Just kind of mumble the words out. I mean, it don't mean anything. Why? Because we're wicked and vile and we know not God. We don't know Him like that.
That's right.
Don't know Him like that. Preacher, you screaming at me, I'm screaming as hard as I can scream. Because I would to God that somebody get a hold of the horns of that altar and not let go until God breaks through, until God reveals Himself, until God manifests, until God shows up, until God starts saving sinners. Miss Holly, we were to spend at least 3 hours a day weeping and begging God for sinners. And I'm being real liberal by saying that. We were to spend 2 or 3 hours a day on the minimum. We don't have a burden for sinners.
Right.
I mean, man, we got family that's dying and going to hell and couldn't care less enough to spend. Hey, I'm telling you, we were to get somewhere where it's real good and cool and got a good airflow so that our, you know, us Americans is about half comfortable and not come out, bless God, that we're soaking wet.
Man.
Right. So what is it? That's that old hard praying. Amen. I mean, that agonizing, that fervent, praying like the old fire. It can't be done. Yes, it can be done. Yeah, it can be done. Real Christians can do it. Real Christians do it. Real Christians have done it.
That's right.
Agonizing over lost souls. Worrying more about, bless God, what we're going to eat than we are going to hell. Ain't that something? We worry more about what we're going to wear tomorrow versus dying and going to hell, spending all eternity in hell. Youngins dying and going to hell, family dying and going to hell, and we worried about eating.
Man.
I'm preaching to myself. Bothers me, ladies and gentlemen. No kind of a burden. The ravens ain't redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My God, man, human beings can be redeemed by the blood. You understand the raven is unconscious of its poverty. That raven don't even have a clue that it's poor.
Right.
The raven don't know. The raven don't know it ain't got a cupboard full of food. It don't know the refrigerator ain't running over. It don't know that food line's running low on the shelves. That raven's unconscious of its poverty. It don't really realize that it don't have a storehouse or a barn or a pile of groceries at the house. That raven's just occupying. You hear me? He's just doing what God gave him to do. And God's dropping him handfuls on purpose. And I'm convinced, brother church, that if we get busy doing what God wants us to do, God that takes care of the ravens will take care of you and me. Preacher, God ain't met my need like that. That's because you don't know God. You ain't keeping up your end of the bargain. Right. You know the rich man was unconscious of his poverty? Yeah. He thought he was rich. Very unconscious of how poor he was. And he was poor in God. He was suffering, ladies and gentlemen, that rich man. And I don't know too many rich men that ain't suffering from spiritual poverty. I remember being lost and having plenty of money. I ain't saying I was rich, but I've told you before that the bills would be paid and And I remember one day, just working, living, and being married, and you know, we're paying the bills, and my wife calls me up and tells me the washing machine's blowed up. And so I said, well, you know, hey, we'll go down there and buy a new one. Never even thought twice about it. There was a time in my life, buddy, where I had to think twice about buying saltine crackers. You say, why was you worried about buying it? I wasn't worried about it. It's just what God wanted to feed me at that time. Saltine crackers will get you through. Even the stale, chewy ones.
Yeah.
They'll get you through. It's more than what I deserved. I deserved to go to hell. And God seemed fit to let me have some old stale saltine crackers. Amen. Amen. I thank God for them. You hear me? I'm glad I got to eat like that. I praise God that He let me live that lifestyle for a while. Oh, hallelujah. Well, you didn't have to. Yeah, I did have to because God took me through that. I wouldn't want it any other way, man. Man, so you talking about rich, Miss Holly? I was eating them crackers. That's one of the richest men in the world. Son, I was having me a time in God. You hear me? Son, I'd eat them saltine crackers, go back there in my little secret place. And man, I'd hit my knees and it was like I was just plugging into God. And God would come down in that secret place and meet with me. Son, I wasn't worried about what we had to eat. It was a sweetness with God Almighty. It was a fellowship with Him. I didn't care about all them monetary things. It was a walk and a closer walk with God Almighty. Wouldn't trade up for nothing.
Man.
Wouldn't trade them secret place experiences, them times in my life for nothing in this world, friend. When the Prince of Glory come a walking in that secret place, amen. Hey, praise God. And He kissed me with the kisses of His mouth. And time again, He's come over and sat down beside of me. He's put His hand on me. I'm telling you, praise God. God has come into my life. And He's put His arm around me on more than one occasion. And I mean, son, He said things to me that'll help you go 10 million more miles. I'm telling you, it'll be words that's unforgettable. I can remember every time that God's ever caressed me and whispered to me and spoke clear to me. Man. And the Baptists say, I don't care. I don't care what the Baptists say. I'm not even going to repeat it. Man. Mentioned a couple times I've had money before I got saved, and I walked into George Wilson's gun shop and the bills was paid. I was working, the bills was paid. I walked into George Wilson's gun shop. I like guns. And I walked in there and he had this blonde 270, not a woman. Get your mind out of the gutter. He had a blonde 270, Weatherby 270. More than $1,000 plus for maybe $1,100. I talked old George down to that thing, got him $700 for it. Pulled $700 cash out of my pocket. Well, no problem, Miss Holly. Paid old George Wilson's $700 for that Weatherby 270, blonde, walnut, blonde wood. And I'm telling you, friend, I carried that thing and I had it down there in Middleburg, Florida. I took it to the gunsmith. I said, hey, man, I'm thinking about selling this thing. What's it worth? And he said, oh, I wouldn't sell this. He said, man, the price of this thing is going up every day. It's well over $1,000. He said, the price is going up every year. Next thing I know, it got sold for $25 worth of crack. Well, I'm just telling you what happened. Didn't do me no good.
Yeah.
Miss Debbie, what I'm trying to tell you is that I had plenty of monetary things. But I was as poor as Zach spiritually as a beggar. I didn't no more care about God. I didn't care about the things of God. I wasn't focused on God. I wasn't worried about getting to God. All I was worried about was how much more money I could make and how much more stuff I could buy, how much more worldly goods I could contain in my life and what all I could rack up and what all I could achieve and my dreams and my goals and all my little ideas and all my little goofy theories and everything. Oh, dear God. And man, I had the world by the tail. I wasn't no little old poor beggar boy, bless God, hanging on by the seat of my britches. When God saved me, I was in pretty good shape. Everybody don't have to be a useless bum when God saves somebody. God can't come over there and take some out every once in a while. They ain't doing so bad. I wasn't doing too bad, worldly wise, but I was on my way to hell, son. Broke without God.
Man.
If I could have got everything, Miss Holly, that I wanted and piled it up and got me some barns and busted the walls out and added new barns and, you know, I'd have died and went to hell and wouldn't none of it ever profit me a thing. You know, I kind of like watching these rich folks hoard all that money up, pile it up. And boy, they worry, they fret over it. They don't sleep well at night thinking who's going to steal my money, who's going to get my money, who's trying to take my money. I mean, it's a constant battle. The Bible even talks about it having them wings and flying away. And boy, they're constantly clipping them wings, keeping them things from flying away. And they're going to die one of these days. And a bunch of heathens is going to take that money and spend it like ain't no tomorrow. That's what usually happens in them people's lives. What good is that? I've told you here lately a couple of times how God's let me in some wealthy, wealthy, wealthy people cross paths in my life. Brother Church, they got money. They got cars. They got a bunch of cars. I mean, Jacob's well acquainted with one of them that, man, you go up at his house and it's him and his wife and his two children. And, man, they got a couple Mercedes sitting out there and they got a couple BMWs sitting out there and they got a couple brand new Corvettes sitting in the garage that never even get out hardly. And then they got a big old Hummer sitting over there. What's the Hummer for? Hummer's just for the snow days in North Carolina. We need a Hummer, you know. Need a Hummer. And them Hummers sit over there, and I watch them, and that Hummer sit over there so long, and it don't get used, and the rims actually started rusting them. And it wasn't stock rims either. These folks can't leave stock rims on there. They're too ugly. They ain't appealing enough. So they got to go down there and spend several more $1,000 just on a set of mag wheels. And then they sit over there in the driveway, and they begin to corrode and rust from the lack of use and wear. And so what do? They load up. Well, the wheels look a little rough. Instead of getting somebody like me to polish them, they go back down there and spend $4,000 or $5,000 more than getting a new set. People's got beach houses, mountain houses. I mean, they got land to spare. It's just amazing, man. They got everything. Got nice. They got gold piled up. They got silver piled up. They got expensive jewels hid away. They got all this stuff. And Brother Church, man, they show me these little pots of gold that they got and all that stuff. Man, they show me them things. And Brother Church, I never sit there and go, oh, man, I wished I had that.
Right.
I look at it and I think the gold's nice, the silver's nice, and they got guns and they got this and that. And I look at it and go, man, that's nice. But I never do, Miss Debbie, sit there and go, boy, I wished I was in his shoes.
Yeah.
Most of the time, Brother Church, before God, I walk away with a broke heart. I walk away with a broke heart because I see all of them monetary things and I never hear nothing about the Redeemer.
That's right.
I go, man, they ain't got no peace. They got all this and ain't got no joy. Son, I'd rather have my peace with God. I'd rather have joy of the Lord. You hear me? I don't have to sit around. They ain't got no peace.
Yeah, glory
you know
God.
What most of them's like? They're like the horse leech's daughters. That's exactly right. They're like a bunch of horse leech daughters. They got mouths and all they say is give, give. And they can't never have enough. They ain't never satisfied. You know what? I'm as poor as I can be sometimes. But I'm as satisfied, son, as a lark. You hear me? I mean, sometimes you couldn't give me another dime. I'm just satisfied. You say why? Because I know my Redeemer lives. Praise God, he's fellowshipping with me. I got the peace of God. I don't need anything else.
God,
don't need nothing. Them suckers sit around crying, give, give, and they ain't never satisfied. It ain't never enough. I mean, man, you can go to the end of the world and you accomplish, man, I want this, and you get them that. And then they sit around and act like a female dog about, you know, the bill that you turn in, but they're the ones that wanted it. And next week they want something else.
Yeah.
And then the next week they want something. I ain't talking about one. I am not talking about one rich man. I'm talking about every one of them that I know. Never satisfied. Got a boat, want a bigger boat. Got a car, want another car. Got one house, want another house. They get that house, that ain't enough, they want another house. I know people that's got 2 and 3 houses, Miss Holly. They got houses in the mountains, houses in the beach, and houses out west, out in Colorado. So when the snow comes, they can go snow skiing. You know how much cheaper it'd be just to go out there and rent an apartment or, you know, a motel and go ski it? No, that ain't that ain't prideful enough. Can't go out there and rent a motel. Got to own some property. Got to build new barns. Well, that's neither here nor there, I guess, but I want you to understand you may be here today and you may have your eyes set on the cares of this world, but I'm here to tell you that if you reach every goal and you fulfill every dream and you die without God, you're going to die like hell and go to hell. It ain't going to do us a bit of good. It'll do you a bit of good.
Amen.
I said it while ago. I'm going to say it again. There's some of us sitting in here tonight, every one of us, has got lost family members. What good's another dollar going to do them? Hey, let me rephrase that. What good's another dollar in your pocket going to do them? What good's another meal in your gut going to do them? Miss Hannah, when I was your age and I had little boys, I heard John Morgan say it last night and it reminded me of me. He said he prayed and begged God to save his children at not a questionable young age, but at a young age. And I completely understand it. I can remember Miss Holly when he said it, me being back there in that back room, just begging God to save my guys.
Amen.
Didn't have a whole lot, Miss Stephanie, but I had God, and that was everything. Didn't have a whole lot in the eyes of the world, but I tell you what, man, I was trying to lay up treasures in heaven.
Amen.
I wish to God that we could get a hold of the fact that we need God. We don't need God just for, you know, today or next week. We need God all the time. We need Him consistently. People talk about being lost and wanting to be saved, and in reality, they don't really want to be saved. They don't really want to be saved.
That's right.
Thank you, Brother Church. If people wanted to be saved, listen to me real good. If people wanted to be saved, they would be saved.
That's right. Absolutely.
But you will not come. God's done everything that He needs to do besides wave His magic wand and give you some kind of hocus pocus. And that ain't going to last. Dear God, that won't last by the time you get off of an altar. We're so eat up with this stupid idea of things. And here's what Jesus is trying to tell us. If you want to be saved, you can be saved.
Man.
Do you want to be saved enough to have gotten up this morning at 4 o'clock, because we know, God knows we ain't going to miss work because we might not be able to pay a bill.
Right.
But did we get up? Do we care enough? Do we want to be saved bad enough to get up this morning? I know it's a burden. That's why we ain't get saved. That's why I said we don't want to. We don't want to.
Right.
I've never in my life ever seen a man want to get saved that God wouldn't save.
Right.
Unless that man has spent his time and stepped over that line and over there on his deathbed without the stirring of the water, trying to make some little old silly profession on the deathbed, and I've seen God pass him by. But a man that God has stirred the waters of his heart, and I'm telling you, if that man wants to be saved, he will be saved.
Right. That's right.
I've never met a man that wanted to get it, that wanted to be saved, that couldn't be saved.
Right.
I spent, and I'm getting off track maybe, but maybe I'm just following God. I spent 8 hours with a man one Sunday, Brother Zach. We went to church and this man had devils. He had unclean spirits, multiple unclean spirits. And we took him over there and prayed, and I recognized them unclean spirits, and I told my pastor, I said, we're going to leave the church. We're going to go over here in the Sunday school room, and we're going to pray that we get through this thing. And Miss Stephanie, you probably can remember it down there in Middleburg, Florida. We prayed, ladies and gentlemen, all day long. And while them devils was coming out of that man, I'm telling you, he was full of devils. They was stuff being said in there, and them devils was doing such things. If it wasn't for the power of God, son, I couldn't have stood in there 5 seconds. Do you hear me? If God wasn't God. We prayed all day long, Miss Stephanie. We went to church that night. I didn't go to church. I was already at church. And we stayed in that Sunday school room. And they sat in there and they had Sunday night service at 7 o'clock. And we continued to pray all the way through that service at about 10 o'clock at night. Glory to God. It broke.
Amen.
God busted through that thing. Man, that old boy got born again. You say, how you know? Because he became a new creature in Christ. His life changed. Right. He took off all them little fag necklaces. And you know what? He had so much gold jewelry. That's right. He had so much gold jewelry. Them devils had him so decked out. He took all that gold and put it in the offering plate and said, man, I don't need this no more. I just give this to the Lord. My pastor wouldn't even take his gold. I want to kiss him in the mouth. Wow. No, I ain't taking that gold. That's of the devil. Wouldn't even take it. Threw it out of the offering plate. Most Baptists, bless God, would have broke their neck to take it to the pawn shop.
Yeah.
And I probably would have been the first one there. I was eyeballing it anyway. I said, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about praying until the light breaks through. Whatever it takes, man.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. You say, what are you talking about? That old boy wanted to be saved.
Yeah.
He wanted to be saved. You know what God did? After about 8 or 10 hours of praying, God saved him. Amen. God had to get all that stuff up, man, and expose to him all that junk, show him what he was. And it took about 8 or 10 hours for that boy to get through all that stuff, Brother Zach. And I'm telling you, when God revealed that to him, the light broke through. That old boy began to repent. Man, hallelujah. Son, I was glad, praise God, to see the light break through.
Man.
I've heard a lot of people talk the talk, but listen to this key word I'm fixing to say. I've heard a lot of people talk about being saved, but I hadn't met a whole lot of people that pursued it constantly. Constantly. I thought about our sinners in this congregation. You're going to be at work pursuing God. Try not to get your fingers cut off. But every chance you get, you're going to sneak away over there on the lunch break and pursue God. Before you get in there on that job, sit in that car and spend a little time alone with Jesus and ask God to show you something, to help you, to bring you to salvation, bring you to repentance that day. But you know what, man? We're so busy in this old dog-eat-dog world. We let it not constant. Inconsistent. We let this stuff overtake us, and man, 2 or 3 days has passed, and we ain't even pursuing it all anymore. When's the last time? Listen to me, because I'm getting to the heart of the message. I want to be done. When's the last time you asked God what He wanted? I know what I want, Brother Church, and I know what most of the people in this congregation want. We want more. I mean, we want to do this, and we want to do that, we want to get this, and we want to get that, we want to go here, we want to go there. But when is the last time out of a sincere heart you said, oh God, what is it that you want, God?
Man.
And I'm not going to move until God, you get what you want. You know what God might say, Brother Church? He might say, I want you. He might tell us that He wants us.
Right.
We run this life, ladies and gentlemen, as if this Bible, we sit and brag on it, promote it, and do all that good stuff, selling wonderful things, but we live our life as if this Bible is not even true.
Right.
Let me prove it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God.
That's right.
We believe this King James Bible, don't we? Miss Stephanie, it comes sometimes in about 35th place. And sometimes it don't place at all. We got so many other things first. I told my wife the other night, I said, honey, sometimes I close my eyes and lay on this bed about every night of my life. And I told Zach the same thing over in Montana. I said, I just close my eyes and I talk to Jesus till I fall asleep.
Amen.
And then Miss Holly, it's my heart's desire to get up, and I'm sorry as hell, but it's my heart's desire to get up in the morning and spend the first of the day with my Lord.
Amen.
I want to go sit at His feet. Am I lying about that? She lives with me. She ain't going to lie for me. She'll be the first one to condemn me and cut me down. And I thank God for it. I need it. If your wife does it too, you just don't know it.
Amen.
Thank you. Y'all get with me and I'll tell you some things. Man. That your wife has said about you. But don't be bitter against her.
Yeah.
Run this life as if the Bible ain't even real. Listen to me. We make fun of the NIV. And I do. I mock it. The ESV, I mock it. And it don't bother me if anybody else does. I like it. Mock that stupid junk, man. It ain't nothing but a pornographic book. That's all it is. No spirit of God. It's the spirit of perversion. Spirit of Satan. Spirit of Antichrist. Ain't nothing godly and good about it. I don't give a flip about it. I'll mock it every chance I get. But that's what we do. Well, we kind of even, you know, shun the followers of the NIV. We make fun of the G-Bot crowd. We shun Hebrew and Greek. Oh, Hebrew and Greek. Don't speak no Hebrew and Greek. Hey, how godly are you? We ain't a bit better off than them people speaking Hebrew and Greek.
Right.
We ain't doing a bit more for God than those reading the NIV. Hello! Hey man, we ain't handing out another tract than the NIV's handing out. We ain't trying to win a... Hey, when's the last time you tried to win anybody in your neighborhood? When's the last time you knocked on a door and told anybody about Jesus? And bless God, you want to talk about the NIV and the Hebrew? Shut up about that stuff. Why don't you get a hold of God? They're doing as much for God as you are, and I am. The G-Bot crowd's doing as much for God as we are in Living Waters Baptist Church. The Hebrew and Greek Bible correctors is doing as much for God as we are. We have no right to say nothing about any of them. Right. Don't really have a right.
Man.
They're doing as much as we are. We're doing as much harm as they are, Brother Zach. We're damning our youngins to hell by all the blasphemy that we do. What's them freaks doing over there? Damning a congregation? I'd rather see you damn a congregation than I had to see you damn your own youngins. I don't want to see none of it. But for God's sakes, man, let's don't do it to our own families. That went over like a lead balloon, and I'm telling you right now, I don't give a flip. I'll pick the lead balloon up and say it again. You ain't got no room to talk about G-Bot, Hebrew, Greek, NIV, ESV. You're wicked as hell. They're wicked as hell. What's the difference of being wicked as hell?
Amen.
Preacher, I don't like that. That's because we don't see how wicked we are. That's because we don't see how evil we are. I'm telling you, if that offends, that's simply because we've never seen ourselves like God does. Every one of us is evil. Every one of us is vile. Every one of us is wicked. Every single one of us. That little old baby sucking his mama's pap. That's God is wicked as hell. You understand? And if it don't grow up one day and get saved, it'll go to the same hell that Hitler goes to.
That's right.
Better get a hold of this thing, folks. You say, are you mad? I'm broke. I'm hurt. I'm concerned, and I'm mad. I stay mad. I stay mad that people's dying and going to hell, and they got an outstretched hand of a loving Savior. Why in the name of God? Why don't you get after God? Push away from this world and get on God. Seek first the things of God. Well, you know what I know, Brother Church? And this is almost foreign in the Baptist church anymore. I know that God leads. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along where the cool waters flow. Hey, man, I know God leads. I know He leads. I know that He guides. I know the Holy Ghost guides. So preacher, explain that. I was in Romania. Praise God. And boy, they herd new sheep. I mean, everywhere. They driving carts down the road. There's herds of sheep going down the road. And I noticed, brother, the church, that shepherd was out front. He was out front. What was he doing? He was leading them sheep in the way they should go. But you know what? That wasn't enough. He had another shepherd back there in the back. And they say them shepherds don't drive them. Well, they don't. They lead them. But they got them under shepherds, and they sure is driving them. What are they doing? He's leading, and he's guiding. God's a leading, and the Holy Ghost is a guiding. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, son, he's got us hemmed up. He's taking care of us, leading us, and guiding us, and protecting us. He speaks to His sheep, and His sheep hear His voice.
That's right.
I was in the bed last night studying. Like I was just sitting up, had my pillow on the headboard. I was sitting there reading. Not really studying, just reading. Just thinking about what I was reading and reading. And would you believe I was sitting there, and I heard that voice from that Lord world said, I want you to preach Matthew 6:33 tomorrow night. Last night, God, yeah, the one that said, let there be light, said, I want you to preach out of that Matthew 6 and Luke 12 tomorrow. I had no more thought about it, Miss Holly. I had no more thought about Matthew 6:33 and Luke chapter 12. No, and God just showed up over in my studies. I was in a completely different book. And God said, I want you to preach this tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Have you heard God speak? He speaks to his youngins. The reason people have a hard time believing that is because they ain't his youngins.
Yeah.
He speaks. His sheep hear his voice. And I was so thrilled last night when he said, I want you to preach. Miss Holly, for several reasons. And one was, I didn't have to wonder what I was going to preach. He done settled that. There's some of y'all sitting in here. There's some of y'all sitting in here that I love you. And I'm not calling names because I don't really want to embarrass anybody. But there's some of you sitting in here, you've got lost loved ones. And I love you, man. I do. Maybe I don't show it, but I love you. I'm okay. Do I show it sometimes? Do you think I love you? That means the world to me. Grace, you think I mean it? You think I love you? Although you hang up on me and remain. Miss Holly, there's people sitting in here lost. Listen real good. There's people sitting in here lost. And the people sitting next to them don't no more give a flip about them dying and going to hell than they do a dollar. You say, why would you say that? Because they're more concerned about making a dollar than they are getting them to God.
Man.
There's one of you in here. I've watched you come in this place full of hell. And I love you, but I've seen you come in here full of hell. You ask my wife, I defend everybody in this congregation. I don't let nobody talk about nobody in this congregation. I don't let nobody run their mouth, talk gossip, go up. Man, I tell them I love them. Listen, hey, I love them. And I don't have no problem with it. It's just, you know, every once in a while I've heard something about 3 times in the last 10 years. If anybody's going to talk, I'm going to be the one to talk. I need to defend every once in a while. I need to puke. But I seen one come up in here, listen to me. I seen one come up in here full of hell, and I was full of hell one time too.
Yeah.
And still get that way from time to time. Woo! And I've seen God touch that heart. I've seen conviction fall. And I've seen these people sit in here and weep. And I've seen them confess, I'm lost. And what I'm asking you, what are you doing to help them get to God? Most of us is more concerned about our careers, more concerned about our money, more concerned about our stinking meals, more concerned about our pride than we are the person sitting next to us dying and going to hell. What have you done to get them out of hell? Made another dollar? That ain't gonna get them out of hell. Became something, became somebody. Built you a bigger barn? That ain't gonna get them out of hell. I tell you what the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His right. I tell you what we're gonna do, Zach. We're to seek God first. And we're to seek God first for our wives. We're to seek God first for our husbands. We're to seek God first for our children. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You want something to eat? Don't worry about it. Seek God. Seek His righteousness. You know what that tells me? Make sure you and your family's born again before you make another move. Make sure you and your family, why don't you try to bloom where you're planted? Why don't you try to get you and your family saved before you make another move? Before you make another choice? Before you make another decision? Why are you making decisions anyway? Your family died. The only decision we ought to really make, preacher, you're crazy. You call me what I want to, but your family died, go to hell for it. I'm trying to keep you and your family out of hell. That's what I'm trying my best to do. Well, I can get to God anywhere. No, you can't. You'll bloom where you're planted, or you'll not bloom at all. You're not, bless God, jumping all over the world and just getting it. It ain't coming on mighty no terms. You're going to have to be still. You're going to have to get where God wants you to get. You're going to have to learn to shut up. You're going to have to learn how to jump that pride. You're going to have to learn how to be nothing and let God be everything.
Yes, glory to God.
I'd rather be a janitor. See my youngest saved. I'd rather pick up cans on the side of the road like Brother John and see my family saved. Ask God then to be the president of the world and watch my family die and go to hell.
Right.
I said a while ago, what does God want? I know what you want. I know what I want. But when's the last time you heard God tell you what He wanted? You know what He wants? He wants to seek and to save that which was lost. And He wants to destroy the works of Satan in your life. And He wants you to worship Him and praise Him. I mean, man, listen. We were to praise God if we're breathing.
Amen. Glory to God. That's right.
One of our preachers that we know said, you were to praise God. If you won't praise God, listen, you ought to drop dead.
Amen.
If you won't praise God, you ought to drop dead. You ought to quit breathing. That's pretty simple, ain't it? We don't believe this King James Bible. Bless God, we don't believe the Hebrew either. I'm not a Bible corrector. I just want to be a Bible believer.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to quit. Luke 12:30 says this. I probably shouldn't say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to quit. What does God want? I preached 2 points. I got 2 more, and I'm not going to preach them. But what does God want? Brother Church, we don't believe God. We do whatever the flip we want to do. That's what people do. People do. Am I okay with that, Michael? We do what we want to do. I mean, some things we can't afford, some things is beyond our reach, but overall, we pretty much just get by with doing whatever we want to do. We make our own decisions. But I'm glad, Brother Church, that He leadeth me. I packed up and moved to Mississippi. You know why? Because God told me. Man, I thought I was a country boy, Eric. I thought I was a country boy. I was proud of being a redneck country boy. I got to Mississippi and I said, I'm a sissy. Them folks is country. Now they country. They ride horses, they ain't got teeth, they wear cowboy boots. The horses jump in the back of their pickup trucks and stomp them about half to death, kick their windows out, and they just sit around and laugh. They country. But you know why I went? Because God told me to.
That's right.
Miss Holly, I was riding in old Brother Pat's van one day. He gave me his van. Old Brother Pat gave me a custom van. You know, boy, that thing was so nice. So I'll give you this for Christmas, let you drive home, visit your family. Man, you and your family would just be comfortable. We had a pickup truck. We would all five ride in the front of my pickup truck, one bench seat. Amen. And, yeah, boy, moving in, I gotta get in the fourth.
Glory to God.
Came and visited my family, boy, we had a good time. You know, when you only see them at Christmas, you can love them.
Woo!
I told Zach, we was out there in Montana, and you see houses about every 100 miles. You see a house, a ranch. And then you go about another 100, 150 miles, and you don't see nothing but fields and deers and wolves and coyotes and bears and, you know, and all that's fun. Antelope, you know, elks, all that's fun. That's fine and dandy. But no neighbor. And I told Zach, I said, man, it's easy to love your neighbor out here. Boy, the closest one you got is 150 miles from you. I can love my neighbor in this place. One black man in the town riding his bike, Zach said, huh? They got one life that matters in Monticello, Montana.
I told Jerry to leave.
Yeah. That's God, they're taking over. The ghetto's moving in. Brother Church, I was heading home, going down the interstate, taking my family back to Mississippi. And I broke down. Going to a place that every Sunday after church, every Sunday after church, preacher, we need to talk with you. And we'd go right back there in that same little room, and it'd be another WWE match, cussing and fussing and fighting, and then them suckers would turn on each other, and I literally sit there with my arms. I liked it. I was enjoying it, because they would start turning on each other. They would throw the chairs across the room at each other, and I went, praise God, this is better than WWE.
Yeah.
It's free. And they just, all the stuff that was said in that back room. And there I was leaving North Carolina Christmas time. And everybody's getting along. We all had fat, dumb, and happy, man. We ate our candy yams and sweet potatoes and, you know, all that good stuff. Everybody was smiling. They gave me gifts, man. Praise God. We was in cahoots. And I was loaded up, leaving. I broke down, going down that interstate at Miss Kim. And began to cry. Oh, but I had to leave my family. 12 hours down the road to a strange land where nobody even seemed to care about me. They fight me. They fuss. Every time I turn around, somebody's just got throwing a monkey wrench. It's just nonstop. Just a constant warfare. Fiery darts seemed like it was flying every day of my life. Couldn't catch a breath. And I went, Lord, why me? Miss Hannah. I've told this before, but it's still just as fresh as if it happened this morning. The Lord come and sat in that van between me and my wife. She was sitting over there and I was sitting here, and the Lord sat between us and put that arm around me one more time. And he told me why. And when he told me why, I felt like that old saying, give me a gallon of gas, about to charge hell. I want to go, man, I'm ready to go, praise God. I wouldn't go back and spend another minute with my family. I'm ready to go. That God done told me why. I said, God told me why.
Yes.
And these people, Brother Church, that I told them why God had me in Mississippi. I told them. I didn't tell them everything he put his arm around and said to me, but I told them my purpose for being in Mississippi.
And Michael, I've got witnesses, several witnesses, that will be glad to tell you his purpose was exactly what happened. And I was completely out of it. So God do it.
You say, well, you said, I said, God said. God said. Was the last time God said anything to you? In the 1700s, ladies and gentlemen, we could ask that question. And it really, really carried some weight. In the 1700s, that question would have been asked. And people would have been laying on their faces weeping. But not in 2020. We don't care enough. We care about other things. Father, I'm sorry, Lord, if I said anything to offend you. I've tried my best to follow you and obey you and say what you wanted said. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd take and use it for your glory. I pray, God, that you'd touch every heart in this place. Lord, help us to examine ourselves and ask what God wants in our life. What does God want in our life? Lord, if we achieve everything that we want, it ain't going to amount to a hill of beans in eternity without God. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.